Well, turning your Bibles to John chapter 6, as we're continuing our study of the Gospel of John, it's just been a couple of weeks that we haven't been looking at it, and Jesus, of course, John shows Jesus to be the Messiah, the Son of God. All who believe in Him have eternal life. The book shows us that God has sent a Savior into the world, and that Savior is Christ. As we continue, of course, in our study of the Gospel this morning, we're seeing Jesus talk to the crowds, and they've come to be fed again, and we see His teaching, and it's concerning the bread from heaven and eternal life and resurrection. And the truth is this, they've come for food, temporal food, but He wants them to have the bread of life. And we're going to see this morning the first of the seven I Am's. Now, you know, we have the handouts for you out front. We have the Gospel of John's. We want you, the Living Waters, pick them up, give them out to people, use them to share your faith, just give them people to read, because as they read it, they'll see that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and they'll trust in Him for salvation. So that's good for you. And then the second is, I have this, the handout, which is on one side is the outline of the Gospel of John. The other is just some information, has the seven signs, which we've been seeing in the book, but also has the seven I Am's. And if you notice this morning, we're going to get into the first of the seven I Am's, where Jesus says, I am the bread of life. And so that can be for your study as you do that. Now, as we start, let me raise some questions to think about, okay? Here they are. Why was the crowd looking for Jesus? What's going on? We'll see what they were coming for. Who is the bread that gives life, eternal life? Well, we know who that is. That's our Savior Jesus. What must one do to have eternal life? And it's very clear in this passage, and it's the same message that we see all the way through the Gospel of John and really all the way through the Bible, and that's faith in Christ for eternal life. What is it? What is the will of the Father that Jesus explains? Because two different times, He says, this is the will of Him who sent me. This is the will of my Father. What exactly is that? How does it fit together? We'll see it as we go through the passage. Sometimes the question is ask, why did Jesus Christ come? There are a lot of different views, a lot of different answers when you talk to people. Some people say, well, He came to heal. I mean, He came to make us physically whole, and you're not supposed to be sick, and people aren't supposed to, you know, have problems like that, and Jesus came to heal people. Some people say, well, no, He came to be an example, to be the example. I mean, we're supposed to follow Him and live like Christ and do the same kind of things that Christ did. Other people say, no, He's a great teacher. He came to show us the truth, because He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and He came to show us the truth, and that way we can learn what the truth is and learn from His teaching. But why did He come? Well, the bottom line is this. He came to save us. He came to save mankind. He came as the Savior. John 3:17 says He did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He came to seek and save those who are lost. Jesus Christ came to save us. In fact, His name Jesus means Savior. We find this morning as Jesus is talking to the crowds that He tells them the will of the Father. And plainly put, the will of the Father is to send the Son so that they might have eternal life by faith. That's what it's all about. And it's a great message for us, because we've gathered this morning to worship our Savior and to be trained and equipped, but we're scattered in the community. We're going out all over this place, and we get to go with a message into this community that is a message of grace, that Jesus Christ is the Savior, and it's faith in Christ for eternal life. Well, this morning, we see Jesus dealing with the crowd, and He teaches them about life and resurrection and the true bread, and He gives what we call the first of the seven I Am statements. Well, as we begin, let's just remember where we are. Jesus has begun His ministry. In fact, about this time, as we're getting a little further into the book, He's probably been doing His ministry maybe at least a year, maybe a year and a half. His headquarters at Capernaum. He mostly does His ministry in the northern part of Israel around the Sea of Galilee. Capernaum is at the northwest side of the Sea of Galilee. And sometimes He'll leave, go down to the south, go to Jerusalem, and then come back. In the first, basically, 12 chapters of the Gospel of John, John is going to give us seven signs that Jesus did so that he would prove that as you look at those signs, you see that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and by believing in Him, you have eternal life. And we have seen so far five of the seven signs, and what we've seen, He changed the water to wine, He healed a nobleman's son, He healed that paralyzed man that had been there for a long time, He fed the 5,000. We talked about last time that there probably was at least 15,000 people there, because that was just 5,000 men. And then we saw Him walking on the water. Those are the five signs. There are two more that we're going to see. If you remember last time, we saw Jesus tell the men to leave, get in the boat, go across the Sea of Galilee. They got stuck, basically, and He walked on the water. So that's what we saw. I'll give you a little more details on it in a minute. But this morning, as we look at our passage, the crowds are coming looking for Jesus. For what? Well, Remember what happened last time? And let me just remind you of something so you can see how this fits together. It's hard to see, but in the northern part is Galilee, then Samaria and Judea. That's the three provinces. In the south, Jerusalem is the key. In the north, you see a little town called Cana. That's where he did his first two miracles. But you see Capernaum. It's at the northwest side of the Sea of Galilee. On the east side, about where the words sea are, that's where Jesus fed the 5,000. He then took his men, put them in the boat, and they were going across the Sea of Galilee to go to Capernaum. It's only about a 6 or 7 mile trip across. We saw last time that they got halfway across, about 3 miles out, a big storm. They got stuck. They were on the water for close to 9 hours. They couldn't do anything. They saw Jesus coming. He walked on the water. We saw four miracles. Jesus walked on the water. Peter walked on the water. Jesus calmed the storm immediately. And when Jesus got in the boat, immediately the boat was to the shore. So it went 3.5 miles just like that. That's what we saw last time. If you remember that right before Jesus put these people in, put his men in the boat, he had just fed 5,000 men, not counting the women and children, and they take up 12 baskets worth of bread left over, big old baskets, and it was just a great day. Well, the people saw the disciples leave. They didn't see Jesus leave. In fact, they think Jesus is still there. So when we come into this morning's passage, they're going to all come trying to find Jesus on the east side of the Sea of Galilee because they want to get fed again. And they're going to get there and they're going to start looking all over and they say, where is he? Well, I don't know. His disciples left in a boat. There's only one little boat here. Jesus didn't take that boat. Where could he be? They don't know he walked on the water. And we're going to see it because they're going to end up going to the other side. So we'll see a good bit of things as we go through it. I think when we look at this and they find Jesus, here's several things to think about, okay, as we just go through it. The people are going to wonder about it. How did he get there? Because they're going to go to the other side. And that's going to be the question. When did you get here? And then Jesus is going to raise the issue of signs and faith. And that's really a key. And that's where he's going to say the I am. Now, let me give you the outline of what we're going to do. And I'll show you several things. First of all, 23 through 40 is a long passage. I put it all together today because it needs to flow together. But let me tell you what we're going to do. We're going to look at, of course, 22 through 25 where the crowds are looking for Jesus. Then 26 through 34 where he teaches them about take the food for eternal life or the true bread. Then he says he's the bread of life. And then what we're going to do is we're going to go through 35 through 40 and we're going to go through it fairly quickly. Next week, there is so much in those verse 35 through 40. We're going to spend all of next week on that because there are four key truths in that little section. We're going to touch on it this morning, go through it fairly quickly. We'll go details next week. So that's our passage. That's how it fits together. Well, let's begin. Jesus' disciples were on the east side. Now they're on the west side. They're by Capernaum. The crowd's on the east side. They got fed yesterday. They want to come back and they say, we want to get fed again. So look at verse 22. The next day, the crowd that stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other small boat there except one, and that Jesus had not entered with his disciples in the boat, but that his disciples had gone away alone. Now you can picture that day they all came down there and they're saying, man, that was good yesterday, wasn't it? Man, we have never eaten as much food in our lives. It was true. For all of us, we all eat till we're full. Most of the time we eat and we go, boy, I shouldn't have eaten that much. We said last time that these people, for many of them, they had never, ever eaten till they were full. And that happened that day. And I think they're saying, you know, this is great. Let's go back and let's go again. He'll feed us again. So they all show up and they say, where is he? Anybody seen him? Nobody seen him. Well, we know his disciples got in the boat. He wasn't in the boat with them and they left. There's the only other boat. It's here. So where could he be? So notice in verse 22, the next day the crowd that stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other small boat there except one, and that Jesus had not entered with his disciples in the boat, but the disciples had gone away alone. There came other boats from Tiberias near to the place where they ate the bread after the Lord had given thanks. Why are these people coming? Word is out. He'll feed you, and he won't just give you a bite. He didn't just say, look, everybody line up, and I'm sorry, I've got just enough for everybody to have one bite. That's not what he said. They ate till they were full. Well, the word's out. People are coming from all over. They said, get over there. Jesus will feed you. So they're all over there. And I say, here's the problem. Jesus didn't want them coming to him because he fed them. He wants them to realize that he is the Christ, the Messiah, and he wants them to believe in him for eternal life. So they're missing it. So watch what happens. Verse 23, there came other small boats from Tiberias near to the place where they ate the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into small boats and came to Capernaum looking for Jesus. Well, they got there and they realized, wait a minute, he's not here. So what are we going to do? And he didn't go with his disciples. What should we do? In fact, that's what it says. He didn't go with his disciples, so where could he be? They're going to get in boats and they're going to go to the other side and they're going to try to find him. They figured, well, maybe somehow he got to his headquarters. His headquarters is Capernaum, that city. Jesus was raised, basically born in Bethlehem, grew up in Nazareth, but his ministry headquarters is Capernaum. And so look what happens when they find him. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, which means teacher, Rabbi, when did you get here? I mean, this is the natural question. How did you get here? When did you get here? There's no boat. How did you get here? Now, I want you to notice something. Jesus doesn't say, well, see what? I just walked on the water. He doesn't even tell them that at all. Listen, how many signs have they seen? In the Gospel of John, we've seen five. We already know that he mentions a number of them. If you take all four Gospels and put them together, there are at least 35 miracles or signs that Jesus did. John only records seven. So they've seen his signs already. They're coming not because of the signs. They're coming because he has fed them. Now notice, verse 25 again. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you get here? I mean, they realized that he wasn't in the boat. How did he get there? They're not coming because they think he's the Messiah. They're coming because they want food. Then notice what he says. Verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Now, we talked about any time you see truly, truly, it's the Greek word amen, which comes from the Hebrew word amen, and it means truth. That's why at the end of a prayer, when you say in Jesus' name, we pray amen, that's not the end. That's to saying it's the end. It's saying this is true. And so Jesus said, truly, truly. And whenever he did that, it means, listen carefully. I've got something very important to say. Truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and you were filled. He says, listen carefully. You're coming to me not because you saw the signs and you believe I'm the Christ, the miracles. No, you're coming to me because you ate of the loaves and you were filled, because you were full. And for the first time in your life, you're full. And you said, this guy can feed us. This guy might can whip the Romans. This guy might give us food. This guy might give us clothes. This is the guy we want to follow. They're not following him because they believe he's the Savior of the world and that he gives to them eternal life. They want to follow him because he might feed them. And Jesus said, you're seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Listen, sometimes people go after God for wrong things. Sometimes people say, well, you know, if you'll just come to Jesus, you'll be happy. Sometimes you can turn on the TV and there are people telling you, if you come to Jesus, you'll be wealthy, you'll be rich. There was an evangelist that came here about 20 years ago, and I remember he spoke, and we held it college night, and I went to it, and all these college students are there, and he tells people that Jesus came to get them through college. Listen, Jesus didn't come to get you through college. He didn't come to make you happy. He came to give you eternal life. He came as the Savior. Now, he'll help you get through college, and he'll do all kind of things for us. He came that we might have life and might have it more abundantly, but he came to give us eternal life. And people miss that. And they're missing it because they're saying, he'll feed us. Jesus said, you're coming to me not because you saw signs, because I will feed you. He gives them a challenge. Look what he says in verse 27. Do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you, for on him the Father God has set his seal. He's saying, don't work for the things which perish. Don't go after the temporal things. Now think about it. I think we got it. Don't go after things that are temporal. See, he's saying, y'all are going after food, but let me tell you, when you eat food, not too long after you eat food, what do you need to do? You need to eat food again, right? Now, for some of us, you can eat food, and then you say, I'm full. And then about an hour later, you say, I'm not even full anymore. I'm ready to eat again. He's saying, that's temporary. You can eat food every day, and you're going to still need to eat food every day. He said, but don't go for the food which perishes. Don't go for the temporary thing. You go for the food which endures for eternal life. He says, go after that which brings eternal life. He's talking about himself. He's saying, come to me. I give you life. I won't just feed you. I'll give you eternal life. We can spend our lives going after the temporary things. I know some people that they're working so hard for a house and money and fame, and it's all temporary, and they miss eternal life by faith in Jesus Christ, which is forever. He said, listen, don't go after the temporal things. Go after the eternal life, which the Son of Man gives you. Because see, life comes through Jesus Christ. Now, you've heard me say this over and over in the Gospel of John. It is a truth that a lot of people miss, and that is eternal life, salvation and life is in a person. It's the person of Jesus Christ. It's not in a church. It's not in righteousness or goodness or works or being baptized or anything that we do. It is in Jesus Christ and Him alone. He is the Savior. We trust in Christ. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whoever believes in Him. John 10:28, Jesus said, I give eternal life and you'll never perish. He says, listen, don't go after the temporal, go after the eternal, which I give. I'm the Son of Man, I give it to you, and He gives it to us by faith. And then He says, for on Him the Father God has set a seal. The Father approved Jesus. Remember at the baptism when the voice out of heaven said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And the truth is, every time Jesus did a miracle, the 35 miracles found in the Gospels, the 7 signs found in the Gospel of John, it's God doing them through Jesus. That's why Jesus says, I didn't come to do my will, I came to do the will of the Father. This is the Father doing this through me, because He is pleased. Now, watch their question, because He's challenged them. He's basically said, you're following me because you want food instead of seeing the signs. Listen, don't go after the food, go after that which brings eternal life. And look what they say. Verse 28, therefore they said to Him, what shall we do so that we may work the works of God? Look at their question. And that is, what shall we do? The works of God, what are we supposed to do? They miss it. They don't realize it's just faith alone and Christ alone. So many people get confused on this. We hear people all the time say, what do I have to do to be saved? Well, you have to try to, you know, turn away from your sins and give your life to Jesus and be willing to serve Him and do this and do that. People do not understand. Salvation is not by what you do. It is by who you believe. You trust in Christ. Galatians 2:16 says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:8-9, it is by grace you are saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So they've missed it a little bit, and they say, well, what works are we supposed to do that we may do the works of God? So look how Jesus answers. Since they're talking about what do we do, here's what He says. Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God. If you want to know what to do, that you believe in Him who He has sent. This is the message of the Scripture. You want to know how to get to heaven? You want to say, what am I supposed to do? You believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior. You believe in Him. In fact, that's it. Believing Him is sin. Faith in Him, believing in the one sent by the Father. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whoever believes, it's over and over again. It's always by faith. Got a couple of verses up here for you. John 1:12, as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even those who believe on His name. Of course, John 3:18, he that believes is not condemned. John 5:24, truly, truly, I say to you, here's my word, and believes in Him who sent me has, present tense, eternal life. Over and over throughout the Scripture, it's always the same way, faith in Christ. I said this to those in the first service. I said, you know, one of the goals that we had was that if you read 3 chapters of John every day, you'll finish the book every week. So once a week, you're reading the entire Gospel of John. So I hope that you're doing that, because it really makes it come alive as you look at the whole book and you see the whole thing fitting together. 98 times in the Gospel of John, He says that salvation is by faith. When you read through the Scripture, those 3 chapters a day, why don't you begin to write down every time you find that it says salvation is by faith? You'll be amazed. It's 98 places. You may miss some, and then as you go back and you keep reading it, you'll find them. He says, if you want to know what work to do, here's what you do. Believe in Him whom He has sent. That's the story of the Bible. The perfect God brings sinful man back to Himself using His Son Jesus Christ. How? By faith. We believe in Christ for eternal life. Before I trusted Christ, when I trusted Christ when I was 19, before I trusted Christ, I always thought if you did more good than bad, you'd go to heaven. You just had to just live good. Just try to do the best you could. My mother and daddy were the great, great, great people, but we never went to church. I did not know the salvation message. I did not understand. I thought you had to be good. I thought you had to live a righteous life or try to be good or try to do more good than bad. And when I found the truth is that Jesus died and rose again, and he paid for our sins, and he offers to us a gift, not our works, a gift, and the gift is eternal life, and it's simply by faith. And when you believe in Christ, you're saved. And so they say, what do we do? And Jesus says, you want to know what to do? This is what you do. You believe in him who he has sent. Now, they haven't got it yet, because they say, oh, you want us to believe in you. And so look what they say. Verse 30. So they said to him, what then do you do for a sign so that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? See, our fathers ate manna in the wilderness, as is written. He gave them bread out of heaven. They look at him and they say, okay, here's our response. Give us a sign. Give us some sign to show us you're the one. Now let me ask you a question. Has Jesus already done signs? We've already seen five in the Gospel of John. There's no telling how many he's already shown to them. So when they say, well, why don't you show us a sign? He could look at them and say, how many have I given you already? Right? But they're looking at it wrong. He's turned the water to wine. He's fed the 5,000. He's healed. He's calmed the storm. He's walked on the water. He has already done these signs. But look what they say. Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. As is written, he gave them bread out of heaven. They're saying, listen, you want to show us a sign? Keep feeding us. That's what we want. We want food. Just like in the Old Testament, Moses gave us bread. God gave us bread. Remember, it was called manna. Manna is the Hebrew word for what is it? What is it? That's what they said. They went, what is it? It was manna. Manna on the ground. And that's what they ate. And so they're saying, if you really want to show us, keep on feeding us. They're missing it. Keep on feeding us. Look what he says. Jesus then said to them, now notice, truly, truly, this is very important. Truly, truly, I say to you, it is not Moses who gave you the bread out of heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven. See, what bread that Moses gave them out of heaven was temporary. It was something they would eat, and the next day they had to go out and look for manna again the next morning because it was a temporary thing. He says, but no, my Father is giving you the true bread out of heaven. Not temporary bread, true bread. See, in the past, the old bread, it's gone. It's temporary. The true bread given now by the Father is Jesus Christ. They're saying, we want bread. He's saying, you're looking at the wrong bread. You need the true bread. And he explains, verse 33, for the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world. He's talking about himself. He says, you really want bread? You want the true bread? The true bread's me. The true bread is I left the glories of heaven and came to this earth. They don't get it. They're missing it. They want the temporary bread that perishes. He wants to give them the true bread that never perishes. It's powerful. That's why the verse is John 14:6. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Life is in Jesus Christ. 1 John 5:11-13. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things are written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Life is in Jesus. Eternal life is in Jesus. If you want eternal life, you come to the true bread, Jesus Christ. And so he says, for the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world. Wow. So see, they got fed. They're looking for food. They go all the way over there. They say, where have you been? And he says, you're coming after me not because you saw the signs and you believe in me as Savior. You're coming after me for food. Let me challenge you. Don't get temporary food. Get eternal food. Give the one that gives you eternal life. And that's me. And they went, prove it to us. Go with the sign. Because our fathers in the Old Testament got bread. If you really are the right one, give us bread. He says, you're going after the wrong bread. Get the bread that gives life. So he says, the bread of God which comes down out of heaven is the bread that gives life to the world. And then they said to him, watch their response. They said, give us, Lord, always give us this bread. We want it. They're still missing it. They're not saying we believe you're the Messiah. They're saying we want you to keep giving us bread. So look what he says. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. Now what we're going to do, this answer, I'm going to go through 35 through 40 fairly quickly. Next week, we're going to go into details because there's so much there. But I want you to understand something. There are four truths from those verses, and we'll see them next week. What you might want to do between now and next Sunday is to see if you can find these four truths that stand out. I'm going to talk about them as we go through it right now, but I'm not going to call them the four truths. We'll see it next time. But look what he says to them. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. He's the bread of life. This is the first of the seven I am statements in the Gospel of John. He says, I'm the bread of life. I'm the bread that gives life. When you come to me, you'll never hunger. You'll never thirst. And by the way it's written in Greek, it says, there's no way ever you'll ever be hungry. There's no way ever you'll ever be thirsty. Why? Because Jesus is the one that saves us completely. When you believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, you are saved forever. He gives you eternal life. Eternal life cannot end. If it could end, it wasn't eternal life. It's powerful. He says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger. He who believes in me will never thirst. He goes on to say, but I said to you, and you have seen me, but you don't believe. He says, you're missing me. I've already done signs, and you've missed it. And then he says in verse 37, a little bit hard, he says, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will certainly not cast out. The point of this is he's saying there's a dual aspect of salvation. There's the Father who draws and the people who come. The truth is that we all like sheep have gone astray, each one in our own way. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's not one that seeks after God. If God doesn't convict us, if God doesn't draw us to himself, nobody would ever believe. And so in salvation, there's the aspect of where the Father sends the Holy Spirit to convict the world and bring us to himself, and then we believe. And you have, they both go together. He has to draw, we have to believe, and that's what he says. But the point of this verse, of verse 37, is whoever comes to him, he will not ever cast out. That means once you come to Christ and you trust in him, you are saved forever. Could never be lost. He gives you eternal life. He holds on to you. He saves you. He seals you. He keeps you. He says, I'll never cast you out. Never be separated from the Father. And then he says, for I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of the one who sent me. He says, I didn't come to do my will. And if you look, as you study, if you wanted to read all four Gospels, you can do that. As you continue to read the Gospels, you read the Gospel of John, you see Jesus over and over saying, I didn't come to do my will. I came to do the will of the Father. I came to do what Father sent me to do. What did the Father send Jesus to do? He sent him to die on the cross to pay for sin and to be the Savior of the world. That's why he came. Notice verse 39, this is the will of him who sent me, that of all that he has given to me, I lose nothing but raise it up on the last day. He says, this is the will of the Father. What is the will of the Father? I lose nothing. Security, that those who come to me, they're saved and saved forever, and I will raise them up. He's talking about resurrection. Let me just say this one thing about resurrection. Some people are confused. Resurrection is always of the body. When a person believes in Jesus Christ as Savior and they die, their body goes in the ground, the soul and spirit goes to be with the Lord. One day Jesus Christ will raise that body. In fact, he's going to raise the body of every human being because he's conquered death. Every human being will exist forever. Some people will be raised from the dead to exist forever separated from God. It's called the lake of fire, because they did not believe in Jesus Christ. Other people will be raised from the dead to exist forever with Jesus Christ. It's called eternal life because they believed in Christ. He says the time is coming. I will lose none and I will raise them up. See, he saves us not only spiritually but physically as well. One last thing. Look what he says in verse 40. This verse, if this is the only verse you had in the Bible, you'd be okay. Look what it says. But this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life. And I myself, as Jesus speaking, I myself will raise him up on the last day. He says, this is the will of the Father, that anyone who believes in Jesus gets eternal life, and he will raise them from the dead. What a powerful truth. The will of the Father is to believe in him. The result is eternal life and to be raised up. If that's the only verse you have, you can say, I believe in Jesus Christ and I have eternal life. And one day, if I were to die physically, one day he will raise this body from the grave. Jesus said, I'm the bread of life, and whoever believes in me has eternal life, and it is both a physical and spiritual life. This is the will of the Father. There's so much there. We'll go next week, and we'll start 35 and go through 40, and we're going to go in some details because there's a lot there. What have we seen? Well, the crowd comes looking for Jesus. They want food. And Jesus says, you're looking for temporal food, but you really need to be looking for the eternal food. They say, well, we ate manna, and if you're really from God, you ought to be feeding us. He says, you want the true bread that comes down from the Father. Jesus is the bread of life, and all who believe in him have both spiritual and physical life forever. It's a powerful truth. What can we learn? Well, let's take the offer of eternal life from Jesus Christ. I mean, that's the thing. What is the offer? The offer is eternal life. Jesus Christ said, whoever believes in me has eternal life. Sometimes people offer a happy life. Sometimes people say a successful life. There are people who say, if you come to Jesus, things will get really good in your life, or your marriage will get better, or you'll be rich, or everything will come right, and you won't be sick, and everything else. Jesus doesn't offer that. He offers eternal life. That's the offer. The offer is eternal life, life forever with Christ. And it's a total thing. He gives both spiritual and physical life. We're saved forever, eternally, not only in a spiritual aspect, but he's going to raise the body as well. Now, I hope and pray that every one of you in this room knows the offer. The offer is eternal life. God says to you, I want you to have life forever with me. That's what he says. And he says, here's the offer. Now, how do we get the offer? Salvation is simply by faith in Christ. The response to the offer is to believe. Jesus died on the cross, paid for sin, and rose again. The response is to believe in him for eternal life. It is that simple. Many are confused and they think it's church or baptism or works or something or faithfulness. It is not. It is simply faith alone in Christ alone. In this little section in chapter 6, verse 29, he says, believe. In verse 35, he says, believe. In verse 36, he says, believe. In verse 40, he says, believe. Just in this little section, four places, that's four of the 98, he says, you believe. It's always by faith. Old Testament, New Testament, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. We believe. Salvation is simply by faith. I hope and pray that every one of you in this room not only understand the offer is the gift of eternal life, but you understand you receive the gift by faith in Christ. And I hope and pray that every one of you have trusted in Christ. May we trust Jesus Christ as our God and our Savior. We clearly proclaim salvation is by faith in Christ, and we trust the bread of life, Jesus Christ, who gives life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a passage. Thank you, Lord. There's just so much here. Lord, thank you for the offer of eternal life, how Jesus came and died on the cross and paid for sin and rose again, and he offers to us the gift of eternal life. He is the bread of life, and that is salvation and is total, spiritually and physically. And Lord, we realize that we receive the gift simply by faith. It is not our works, our goodness, our righteousness, our faithfulness, or anything. We trust Jesus to save us. We trust Jesus to give us eternal life. Thank you, Lord, that salvation is in the person of Christ, our Savior. Thank you, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.